This is Finds You in the End. Written by Akamani Chan and read by Tipsy Kitty. This was recorded for the 2016 Pod Together Challenge. They meet for the first time at the House of Secrets, and from across the room, Frank feels the pull. It's raw and urgent, and he wants. The look on the other man's face, pale and sharp-featured, makes it clear Frank's not the only one feeling the attraction. Frank procures a key from the mistress of the house and approaches the man, bowing. The key rests in the palm of his hand, presentation and offer. The man doesn't hesitate. In the brief brush of his fingers against Frank's hand as he takes the key sends a delicious shiver across Frank's nerves. The room is lit only by a single flickering candle, but it doesn't matter. There's no time to look as they scrabble at buttons and ties, desperate for bare skin. There's a flicker of regret. His bed partner seems beautifully made, but the dimness hides Frank's secrets too. "Yes," the man whispers, breath hot against the side of Frank's neck as he follows the line of Frank's jaw with tiny bites. His teeth are sharp, and Frank wonders if there will be marks, something to remind him of this night. Frank feels a brief moment of panic when the man unlaces Frank's boots, but he doesn't flinch, doesn't hesitate when he runs across Frank's knife. The man is used to handling knives. There's an ease and familiarity to the way he sets it on the bedside table, and Frank wonders until he's distracted by the curve of a shoulder under a fall of black hair. They kiss and kiss, and Frank feels lightheaded as the man struggles with Frank's trousers, the ties tangling in his fingers. He curses at the strings, and Frank has to bite his lip to keep from smiling at the absurdity of the situation. "Laughing at me?" the man asks, breathless. He's not even trying to hide the grin that spreads across his face. It's charmingly crooked, and Frank can't help but press a kiss to the corner of it. The man makes a hungry sound, slants his face, and deepens the kiss. Frank's laughter evaporates in the heat of his desire. His heart is pounding, echoing through his blood, reverberating through his bones, settling into a heavy ache between his thighs. Frank's trousers hit the floor, and the man tumbles him onto the bed, hand cupping Frank's cock, friction and pressure and ecstasy engulfing his senses. In the morning, he's alone, the empty half of the bed only holding the barest hint of warmth. Frank is sore and aching, lazy and sated. The looking glass shows him a man, passion-bruised and well-pleasured. He looks wanton and debauched, and he realizes that he likes it. It had been an impulsive decision to visit the House of Secrets. Frank's life was too dangerous, too transient, for him to form bonds, and sometimes he just needed to be touched, a craving that he couldn't satisfy with drink, or powder, or the twist of his own slicked hand. A quick trip to the house, a donation to the mistress, and a night lost in carnal indulgence. Simple, quick, easy. Frank should have known better. His luck was never that good. He couldn't stop thinking about the man. The way he moved, rocking slowly into Frank, making him feel the stretch and pull. The sounds he made when Frank sucked a bruise onto his thigh. The way his fingernails dug into Frank's shoulders to pull him close, closer. How he watched Frank's face as he drowned under the sensations trembling through him. When he closed his eyes, Frank couldn't see anything but the man, laid out under him, strung out by Frank's touch, his face open, unashamed and honest. He haunted Frank. Kept him awake and restless and hard. Frank makes it a fortnight before he gives in. The mistress knows who Frank is asking about, and confides that the gentleman in question has been back to the house several times in the past 2 weeks, but never retired to a room, never took a key. She would hazard to guess that he's been waiting for someone particular, an especial bed partner. She has learned almost nothing about the man, other than that he was new to the city. She didn't know his name, nor where he came from, nor why he came to the city. Frank worries. Maybe he's making a fool out of himself, as the mistress seems to be hinting at. It makes Frank's chest tighten in anxiety. Maybe the other man doesn't feel the gravity of what is between them. Maybe Frank's deluding himself. Maybe. The man comes into the house, and it feels like all the air disappears, and Frank can't catch his breath. He can't take his eyes off the man as he procures the key and approaches Frank. "I've been waiting for you." His voice is soft, a little rough. Frank bows. My name is Frank. Frank, the man repeats, and Frank wants to hear him saying his name over and over and over. He touches a finger to Frank's lips. My name is Gerard. The name, it suits him. And in the end, Gerard's name is a desperate refrain falling from Frank's lips in the dark of the night. Frank is a master of denial, and it takes 3 more meetings with Gerard at the house before he can admit to himself that he's in over his head, overwhelmed by the way he feels about Gerard. He's never felt this way before, not about anyone. He's not made for a settled kind of life. His family's history makes it an impossibility. Gerard makes him want to try, and he doesn't know what to do with that. It's late, towards dawn. Gerard is almost asleep, lulled by the soft patter of raindrops against the window, and Frank is drifting, touching Gerard, tracing the shape of his body with his fingertips. They had exhausted each other in the night, repeated rounds of pleasure so sharp it bordered on pain. Gerard murmurs something, a question, and Frank shushes him. The candle's on the verge of guttering out, down to a stub, and Frank watches as the shadows play across Gerard's skin. The wind rattles the shutters, the gentle storm's picking up intensity, and thunder rumbles in the distance. There's no warning. There's a blinding flash of light, brighter than the sun, that lasts for what feels like forever. Frank blinks repeatedly, trying to clear his vision of the afterimages burned into his sight. Then comes a bone-rattling boom. Frank feels the house shake and shift, bucking like an untamed horse. He tumbles to the floor, while pictures fall off the walls and the wash basin crashes to the ground, unheard because of the loud ringing in his ears. Frank turns, reaching for Gerard, and, sitting in the middle of the destroyed bed, horribly out of place, is a medium-sized dragon. Shiny black scales tipped in diamonds, a sleek, hungry shape that triggers a primordial fear that's bred into Frank's blood and bones. Without thought, his knife is in his hand, up and ready to strike, and it hums in anticipation. It was forged in magic, to pierce dragonhide, and it's never missed its mark. The dragon rears back and hisses angrily, displaying an improbable number of razor-sharp teeth. The air crackles with the sharp tang of ozone, and Frank tenses to spring, and stops. Gerard? His voice is forlorn, small, and Frank can't help himself. He drops the knife, and reaches out a hand toward the dragon's pointed muzzle. Gerard? The dragon stretches out his neck in increments, and slowly, carefully, presses into Frank's touch. Frank closes his eyes and breathes deep. You're a dragon. There's a swirl of air, and his eyes flutter open. Gerard is standing amid a jumble of boards and bits of metal, shredded sheets and blankets, his mouth curved down. You're a dragon hunter. It's tradition that dragons and dragon hunters are mortal enemies. Only in name. My family stopped hunting dragons several generations ago. He points to the knife lying on the floor. Family heirloom now. Gerard tilts his head. What do you hunt, then? He lifts his chin. You clearly hunt something. Frank shrugs. People. I take coin to find people who are missing. Runaway husbands, eloping couples, embezzling business partners. He takes a step closer to Gerard. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about my family history. His hand skims up Gerard's chest, across his shoulders, petting at his hair. Gerard laughs a little. Sorry, I neglected to tell you about my affliction. Runs in the family, does it? Frank can't help himself. He nuzzles at Gerard's ear. We're kind of doomed. Mortal enemies and all. Gerard settles his hands at Frank's waist. We are what we are. He presses close. I don't care about tradition. Nothing about their relationship has been in any way traditional. Me neither, Frank whispers, holding tight to Gerard. The end.